Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, first half of the show, we got Mark Garagos phoning in. He was just at the Kaepernick tryout, so he's going to offer some insights, some insider information on what happened with the change of venue and the kerfuffle. So he'll give us some info on that. Also, I'll play an AB of Kaepernick and how his voice is changing, and I think it'll be quite enlightening. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Companies underestimate the damage of employee data being stolen and leaked to the dark web. Hacking employee email addresses could lead to serious security issues. It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Identity theft is another serious issue. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. There you go. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. There goes someone's identity. Hopefully it's not yours. Protect yourself. You need LifeLock. Good thing there is LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats like social security numbers for sale on the dark web and protects you. If something goes wrong, they will fix it, but it won't go wrong because you will have LifeLock. Protect yourself. We're heading right into 2020. You need the cyber protection. It is LifeLock, right, Dawson?
Knowing to prevent all identity theft and monitor transactions at all businesses, LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Until December 8th, join and get a special discount. Save 30% or more off your first year by using promo code ADAM. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code ADAM for 30% off or more.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, AJ Benza. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, Nate Adams visits for a chassis update, and Dave Damashek is here for good sports. And now, a man who went from digging in crawl spaces to making documentaries about safe spaces, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but get on a minute to get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in. I love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Hand ball, Brian.
In a business with no ethics, we got to have ethics.
AJ Benza coming in. Love that guy. And if I say AJ Bain, twice. You'll forgive me because I work on movies with him sometimes, and he writes all these books and all that kind of stuff. Well, he famously wrote Go Like Hell.
I knew the name. I just came from Ford v. Ferrari.
Oh, good. Yeah. We'll get a Baldywood on that.
Yeah, I'll do a Baldywood roundup in the next couple of days. There's some good movies in theaters I want people to know about.
Well, as we head toward the holidays, people are going to get a little time off to do that.
That's a good point.
So, speaking of movies and Ford v. Ferrari and everything else, I had a situation over the weekend where I was going to be at the Burbank AMC, mm-hmm. and No Safe Spaces was showing there, and they're holding it over so you can continue to go there, and it's expanding around the country. But I was going to talk up the movie before the movie started, and then I was going to talk up the next movie at 6:40, and the first one was like 4:20, and then we had the and then I was going to take Sonny to see Ford v. Ferrari in it. Cinerama Dome or whatever it is. Well, not Cinerama Dome, but in the
IMAX or Prime
IMAX,
or something.
IMAX, yeah.
I'd like to see that in IMAX.
I had a couple of things.
I saw it on a dinky screen. It was still impressive.
I had a couple things going on. First things first. I am a pattern person. I'm pattern. I learn everything I learn from patterns. Mm-hmm. And you guys just missed Dr. Drew, but he was sitting in here. And I just said, I need to know what was up with his shoes, because he was wearing sort of leathery black shoes that you probably might not notice. Drew dresses nicely oftentimes. Sometimes he's casual or whatever. But I had to know what the story with the shoes were. And he explained that he's traveling. He's doing a speaking engagement. These are the shoes he's going to wear when he puts his suit on, like, whatever.
And he's stolen from August, brother.
Fine. I understand with the shoes. Right. And now I need answers on shoes. The Porcelain Punisher famously came in here with a pair of tennis shoes one day, and I needed answers on his shoes. I need answers because I study patterns and little things throw me. Mm-hmm. So I said to Sonny over the weekend, I'm going to the Burbank Cinema. I'm going to bring out Say a Few Words for a No Safe Spaces at 4:20, and then again at 6:40. And then I'm going to get a 7 o'clock ticket, and we're going to go see Ford v. Ferrari.
Sweet.
And then I thought as a normal, loving, and nurturing parent, I should give my daughter the opportunity to pass on this experience. Which she,
right, her first refusal.
Yeah. George Costanza, credit for the pickup.
She's gonna pass.
Sure.
But I'll give her a chance. And so I went into her bedroom on a Thursday, and I said, Natalia, we're going to go see Ford v. Ferrari. And she's seeing billboards everywhere.
Sure.
And she's kind of
ubiquitous. Yeah.
There's not a lot of buzz at the Corolla house about the docs I'm making, but from what I provide,
right.
She's gleaned that I did a Ford Ferrari movie and that there's a Shelby doc coming
Matt
out.
Damon.
She knows this much.
Yeah. And she kind of knows about Matt Damon. And so she's like, yeah, Matt Damon. And also, by the way, the 24-Hour War is now trending on Netflix. It was in the popular pile on Netflix,
good.
Which is good. But so I said, Natalia, do you want to go to the 7 o'clock showing with me and Sonny on Saturday night? And she said, yes.
You said, Natalia, you don't want to go with us, do you?
She said, yes.
What?
And I said, now, are you sure you got nothing going on Saturday night? And she goes, yes, I would like to go to the movie. And I said, okay.
Oh, shit.
You're not buying it.
Oh, dear.
Then I went into work on Friday, and I said, Matt, go to Fandango and wrestle a third seat next to me and Sonny, because now Natalia wants to go. And she said, he said, okay, and we got the ticket. And then I went on Friday, and I said, Natalia, we're going Saturday night. Right? She said, yep. And then at some point, I think it was later Friday, she was gone, and I was like, where's Natalia? And then at some point, she came home. And the second she came home, I got up, and I walked straight to her room, and I opened the door, and I said, you still want to go Saturday night, right? And she went, ooh.
Oh, about that.
I got a party Saturday night.
Sure.
And I was like, I knew that. Now, Matt, go cancel. Send Matt an email. Cancel the ticket. Now, I literally was sitting on my sofa. I'd asked her three times. She said yes every time. But
three times, fool.
Just because she said yes didn't mean No. I thought she was going.
That wasn't a firm yes.
And well, it would have been with Sonny.
Right.
Sonny was a firm yes. I calibrate everybody.
There's some people, the more yeses, the more no it becomes. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You're going to go,
no.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, oh, totally. Oh, man. I can't wait. It's like, that person's
well,
not,
it's
they're
also,
not, they're not going.
Also, I will oftentimes tell Matt, put a dinner, ask Kevin Hench who wants to get a steak on Sunday night, on Monday. And then Kevin will write back Monday. Yeah, see you at Morton's, 6 o'clock Sunday night. And I'll go, okay. And then at some point, Matt will say on Friday of that week, they go, yeah, I'm going to send a reminder to Hench. I'll go, no.
Not Hench.
Not Hench. Everyone else, yes. Hench, no. He said 6 o'clock Sunday.
Done.
It shall be 6 o'clock Sunday. And if you get there, if I get there at 5:59, he's not there. If I get there at 6:02 and he's not there, he got into an accident.
Right.
Like that's the way it rolls. But
we had this exact same situation this weekend. A friend of ours, we missed her birthday dinner for some reason. So we're like, let's take her and her husband out to dinner. We said, Friday, how does that sound? Oh, we'll let you know if we can get a sitter. Radio silence. This is like Monday.
Right.
And I said to Christy, I'm like, and Christy's like, I guess our date night's going to be for 2. I'm like, oh, no. We will hear the Friday night is supposedly dinner. We'll hear sometime around noon on Friday. Noon on Friday. Hey, we can't wait for dinner tonight. Great.
Right.
For, you know, some people just, you know, that's going to be within 6 hours
of dinner.
And
that's the worst because there was a whiff of canceled plans.
Yes.
And that's the greatest
the
feeling
greatest,
in the world.
The greatest. Oh, that's why I welcome the sweet relief of death.
The ultimate canceled plans.
Oh, God.
So it was weighing heavily, and it was literally a point where I was sitting on my sofa, and I heard her come home and walk into a room, and I burst in there, like, what? I need to know. And she's like, you're right, no. And I was like, okay, but all's right in the world.
Yeah.
And then I had this experience, and could we, I don't know, don't you, we got to fix this. I had a 420 was the 420 was the first movie. I knew I could get from my house to the movie theater in about 20 minutes. So I gave myself a little extra time. I got Sonny, started heading to the movie theater, and the 134 freeway to the 5 ramp was closed, and it had diverted everyone off onto Zoo Drive and turn around and whatever, and had to
go the
other way. And then these are things they could put on the big electronic freeway sign rather than clicking a ticket. And then when I got to Burbank, there was like some sort of street festival. They're closing streets. It was just traffic. It was just traffic. And I now am taking my phone and I'm giving it. I'm having anxiety now because I'm supposed to start this movie by walking out in front of the movie house.
They're waiting for you, but they also might not wait for you.
It's sold out. I don't know what the protocol is. Do they just start when they start? They have movies coming up behind it. They can't hang too long. I'm throwing the phone to Sonny and telling him to text the guy, tell him we're off the freeway, blah, blah, blah. We're supposed to get there. You know, we're going to be 4 minutes late, blah, blah, blah. At some point, I'm now doing the crazy ways where I've gotten off the freeway at the Zoo Drive and I'm trying to fish my way to this weird part of Burbank and I'm going down side streets and whatever. And at some point, there's a big pickup truck and it's turning right. And I'm like, God, I got to get there. I got to get out of the car. I hope I can find parking at this. Blah, blah, blah. And I start the car, the truck turns right and it turns right. Kind of into the left lane, just made like a wide right. And I turned right, did sort of a tighter right. And then it started to float back into my lane. And I did this move where I just sped up, went around, and went up the hill. Oh, here come the brights. Oh. Here come the high beams. Here come the high beams. And then you get over the freeway, and now we're parked and waiting. He's back. He's behind me again. More high beams. More lights. And then he pulls up next to me, gives me the look, like, what kind of maniac? Look, and it's like, you have no idea where I'm going. I didn't get near you. I didn't do anything. Yeah. I'm just trying. I have to go open a movie. Is that okay?
Is there a more flaccid, yell at you move than the lights?
Do
the horn. Do the finger. I was trying to work on a joke for this for stand-up, but it never came together. But is there a more flaccid, like, you know, oh, bright lights. It's the middle of the day.
Yeah.
It was light outside. He shot me the lights from a long distance when I passed him. Then, of course, as fate would have it, he pulled up behind me at the long signal. And then when he pulled up behind me, he flashed him again. And then as we were taking off, he flashed him again. It's like,
all right.
I am willing to hit the open road with the knowledge that some people may get around me or do something that I didn't sign off on before I got onto the car, is that okay with you? Or must everything, and also, what exactly are we doing here? I saw you. I went around you.
Your life's not affected in any way. We're both in the same light.
Ironically, if I T-boned you, you wouldn't give me the flashing lights. You couldn't. But I didn't touch you.
No.
I didn't hit you. I didn't cut you off. Nothing happened. May we go about this? And you are not familiar with my particular story. No. My particular story is I'm not late because there's a ska band that's playing in the quad of the Burbank, whatever, and I love ska music. I have to bring a movie out. And it's late in the freeway that you don't know about. I just got pushed off the freeway that you don't know. You don't know about any of this stuff. What if I had a kid with cancer or something and I was rushing to the hospital or something?
God willing.
God willing. So then...
And Brian, when you say that's a flaccid move,
you know
why he was pissed? Because you emasculated him.
I didn't...
Have the goddamn dignity to honk your horn.
Exactly.
Then I got to Burbank where there's big festival going and just went park, just did that circular part. Now, is there anything more anxiety-producing than... You're behind two cars who keep stopping and waiting for people to pull out very slowly.
And they're in the middle. You can't get around them.
The super packed parking structure. And I'm looking at the clock.
Yep.
Like, this movie started 5 minutes ago. What was the deal? And I just seemed flaky like that. And so at a certain point, I just pull after going around five times and going down to the fourth level. I literally pull in front of a stairwell off to like the weird side where the yellow stanchions are. I get out of the car. I hit the hazards.
Good for you.
I give Sonny the keys and I go, just stand by this car. Stand by this car. And I start running up the stairs and running. So I'm like, I don't know what you're going to do, but if they try to tow this car,
you got in front of it.
Lay down. Dad's done it. I've driven off. I mean, like just stand here and protect your house, your car, house.
It's your legacy.
It's your legacy. And I just took off, started running, ran up the stairs, got in the theater like all sweaty. Of course, they didn't want to let me into the theater.
Of course not. You have a ticket.
Talked the thing up, and then...
What had they held the movie? Did they have to stop it so you could say hi?
Instead of talking kind of before the trailers, they ran all the trailers, and then we talked after them or something like that. It worked out. Then Sonny and I... went to over
Some
the shop
shaking talked, in the driver's seat
to Nate, then went to Barney's Beanery, and then went to this talked up the 640, and then saw the Ford v Ferrari.
What'd the boy think? It's a thrill ride, so he probably enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, he liked it. He liked it a lot, and he said something sweet to me. He said when we were driving home, he said, "You're not gonna drive Daytona, are you?" Daytona seemed fast or something. Or
dangerous
to him.
And a lot of wrecks in that movie.
I said, yeah, I am going to drive. I mean, I would if I could, but the cars are safer now and whatever. And he's like, okay. But he's kind
you
of
you have cars from 1980?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was from the 70s even. But he expressed concern, which I thought was nice.
And so your answer to him was, of course I am.
Yeah, why wouldn't I?
Listen, I got a life to lead, Cha-Cha. And I don't want the kid to be a puss.
Yeah.
I mean, the reason they're making a movie about these guys is because they went out and got some. You know what
Indeed.
I mean? I mean, they led
got some fire retardant.
They led their goddamn lives.
Yeah.
The other thing I was laughing about of the movie was I was saying to Drew, I said, the whole shop started off in Venice Beach, California. Mm. Could you imagine going to Venice Beach and just going, I'm building cars.
Where on earth would you do that?
Shipping them in from England. We're going to ship the motors in from Detroit. And there's no red tape. And there's no, you know, we got to see what are you have hazardous materials. You couldn't pull a permit. You wouldn't clear that. You'd never be able to do
it. Wild.
I said to Drew, imagine doing that in Venice Beach, California. Just going to pull in. Hire a bunch of 19-year-olds, start welding and making cars. There'd be a whole certification and all that.
Yeah.
You couldn't get close to it. I said to him, where was Carol Shelby from, Dr. Drew? And he said, I don't know. And I said, Texas. Yeah. Yeah. He came here from Texas so he could do his thing.
Yeah, that's right.
He came to California so he could do his thing.
Where the man wouldn't bother him.
That's right. He built his car.
Manifest destiny.
Right.
Now everyone in California is moving to Texas so they can be left alone.
Yeah.
Very ironic that Carol Shelby went from Texas to Venice so that he could do what he wanted to do unfettered.
Wow.
Very interesting
story. What year was that?
The world turns.
Yeah, it was like 65, 64. Yeah, so you can see why the Ken Miles story was so interesting in that whole thing. And it's really weird when you watch the movie because it's like, oh, he's at Daytona and there's Walt Haskins. He's got to beat Walt Haskins. And I'm like, Walt Haskins died as soon as they got to Le Mans that year.
Really?
He died in testing or practicing at Le Mans. If you watch the 24-Hour War, you'll see that Walt Haskins died.
There must have been so many just details in that movie, like just names mentioned like once that you were like, oh yeah, I know the whole backstory there. Or at least, you know, you have some knowledge of the history.
Well, it's crazy because they're like, they have a young kid and it's like, hey, Charlie, get over here. That's Charlie Acapu. Like, we interviewed that guy. He's still a youngish man. They were so young.
Yeah, he was probably born
when all this stuff went down.
1960,
and they're young kind of characters anyway, that when I interviewed him, he's 70 and he's spry. Mm-hmm. You know, he's explaining about Ken Miles and dying and everything else.
And you know what's so cool about these companion pieces? Because you think like, well, watch the doc first and then you'll understand the movie. But it's never like that. You see a movie and then all of a sudden like you're up all night Googling the backstory. Yeah. Now you could just watch it. The doc's right there, ready to go as soon as the movie's over.
Yep. Is Nate out there? We're going to bring Nate in here and he's going to talk it up. Also, I'm sure you found Shelby pretty compelling as a character.
Of course.
As well.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I mean, I know people know Shelby's name, but I don't think they know all that guy was up to, right?
They moved their whole operation to the airport?
Yeah, they moved it to LAX.
For like a year and a half or 2 years? They
started in Venice. They moved to the airport. And they need like a hangar. And they need a test and stuff like that. And then they moved to Dearborn. Like Ford sort of bought them up and moved them there. And imagine trying to go to LAX and test your cars.
Can't imagine that.
Can't imagine, yeah, right?
They needed a runway big enough to drive those cars that fast.
I'd imagine. Awesome. Yeah,
Nate Adams in studio.
Hi, everybody.
Directed the film.
with you.
With me. The Shelby doc is available when?
The Shelby documentary is available on chassis.com tomorrow, 11:19.
I knew we'd fuck this up.
Today, as you hear this. Tomorrow, as we record this.
Right now.
I only do this to amuse myself.
It's available for pre-sale right now. You can order the DVD or Blu-ray.
Yeah. Okay.
But the downloads and everything, you will get them tomorrow.
Are also available today.
Yeah, this isn't live, Nate. This releases tomorrow, so you can say.
Oh, you're right. So
did you have that discussion with Nate?
I didn't have that discussion. All right.
This is available
part
today.
Of producing, Chris.
Gotcha.
It's having that discussion with the guests. All right, sorry. Go ahead. It is an ongoing thing where people say today and they mean tomorrow. But
first time Nate's ever been on the podcast.
Hey.
Well, Nate should have known, and you should have produced.
I know.
We had two avenues here. We failed
both.
The way right. to...
You baited that, too. You had the biggest smirk on your face when you did that. You could have never. You didn't have to do that.
I did. I had to do it. All right. So it's today, and it's available, chassy.com, and this is the Shelby doc.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to have it up by tomorrow, but we've also got a two DVD set of the 24-hour
war. Tomorrow. What does that
today.
Mean?
Jesus.
Again.
You got it. By the way, when do you get Nate and August into the same room?
Oh, no. How do you know when to be there?
I have to tell them what each other are saying
insanity.
To each other.
No wonder he was undefeated as a wrestler. He showed up on the wrong day every time.
Yeah.
Never lost.
So today, I'm hoping to have the two DVD pack where you can buy the 24-Hour War and Shelby American.
Nice. Good.
I'm getting them made, but they'll be hopefully made by next week, so I'll be able to get them right out. But I'm hoping to have it up on the site today.
That's great.
Well, good time. When did we begin the Shelby doc?
Man, that? Well, in my mind, it began when we did the 24-Hour War because we cut about 40 minutes of Carroll Shelby. We loved that story so much. The guys that worked in his shop were so interesting that it was like 40 extra minutes, and we were like, we got to do something with this because it was so much fun. And they're like these 20-year-old guys and, you know, blowing up cherry bombs with each other and stuff. You know, they were just amazing guys. So that's when we approached Aaron and Randall and Sean Shelby, who are the grandkids who produced it with us, and Shelby American. And then I think we've been working on that for probably 14 months.
Yeah, I tell everyone you have to start early and you have to have everything in all different stages because everything takes such a mm-hmm. long time. But also time passes so quickly. But also there's always something else coming off the conveyor belt. And then every once in a while, some kind of weird pixie dust comes into the air when somebody will say to you, congratulations on the doc, and I go, which one? Mm-hmm. Because yeah. I'm going to the AMC4 to do No Safe Spaces tonight. The 24-Hour War is trending on Netflix, and we got the Shelby doc coming out today. So I honestly don't know which one we're even talking about.
Humble brag.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, and also the 24-Hour War is on Netflix, and this weekend it was trending as number one. By the way,
didn't I say that?
Which was awesome.
Well, it bears repeating. Number one,
bears Doc's repeating.
Yeah. I'm worth that repeating. I was very excited when I saw that.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, at some point, you just want to get some eyeballs on your work, and that's the difficult part. I don't think anyone gets rich making documentaries, but if you can just get people to watch. And really, there's so much material out there. There's so much noise. It's just so hard to define yourself in that space. But it helps, obviously, to have a huge Matt Damon, Christian Bale movie come out simultaneously, which
it's big.
Which, of course, we had no idea of when we set upon making these two movies.
No.
So Mark Garagos is going to try to call in before the flight and talk Kaepernick.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Oh, I just got a text from 2 seconds ago. He wants to go now.
Okay, Nate.
Can we go now?
See you tomorrow.
Wow.
Today.
Listen, go to chassis.com and order Shelby American, the Carroll Shelby story. You will not be disappointed, or get it with the 24-Hour War and know everything about Ford versus Ferrari. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Nate.
Well
said. And while we dial up Garagos, Nate was very helpful in documenting Last of Ball Brian. He provided film crew. We paid for the crew, but equipment and stuff is very, very helpful. So thank you, Nate. I appreciate it.
Nate, happy to do it.
Nate gets stuff done. It's one of the reasons we get along as well as we do. Is he's not a... I tell you, all you need to know about Nate is
you should leave now, Nate.
A million,
it's going well.
A million years. No. A million years ago, I Gary was leaving on a Thursday, and I went, "Where are you going?" He's like, "I'm getting my hair cut." And I go, "Is the barber open on Saturday?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Well, you know why it's open on Saturday?" And he's like, "I guess you'd get a haircut on Saturday." Like, yes, you could. And then poor Gary, an hour later, I walked into Nate's office, you got a haircut. And he's like, yeah, that's right, 8 o'clock before I came into work. And I was like, okay.
There you go.
I like that. Hey, Mark Garagos.
I have a question. If Gary, don't you miss the days when Paco's Barbershop was still in operation at La Cañada?
Oh, I do. It was a place that had a bunch of pictures of World War II airplanes hanging in it.
Exactly. And he sold recycled golf balls to the La Cañada Country Club.
I
actually fished them out of the water traps and resold the golf balls.
Yeah, because when you're going to get your neck cleaned up, you also want some golf balls.
Yeah, well, as long as you're there, two birds.
Reasonable Doubt, by the way, you can listen to our podcast as well. New episodes every Saturday. Where are you right now, Mark?
As I speak, I'm in Newark, New Jersey, getting ready to go wheels up to Salt Lake City, Utah, and then back to New York right after that.
Tell us all you can tell us about the Kaepernick tryout. First started with a kerfuffle of a change of venue. How did that come about?
Let me tell you what happened. So Tuesday, they get a hold of us, as you know, because I gave you the inside scoop. In fact, it's amazing how many people on Twitter said, if you had a brain in your head, you'd listen to the best hour of the universe, and you could have seen this coming a mile away, which was exactly right. So Tuesday, they call up, and they call up Jeff Nally, who is Colin's agent. Tell him, okay, we've got a workout on Saturday. Nally pushes back and says, who does a workout on Saturday? By the way, I've never heard of an NFL management council workout. This makes no sense. And the reason he pushed back is because Saturday, obviously, all the scouts are at college games, and the general managers and head coaches are either traveling to the next Sunday game or preparing for the Sunday game. They said, it doesn't matter. We'll provide you with a list. Just do it. You had 3 hours, though, to accept or refuse. So I told Colin, and he agreed, we got to do it. Put him on a plane. He was in Atlanta by Thursday to start getting ready. They then circulate some stuff. They want personnel. They've got Hugh Jackson there. They've got a couple of other guys there. They're going to work it out. And all of a sudden, they produce a release, which was no release. I've ever seen.
What? And it had sorry, proven, repeat that. There was static. Right. Mark, repeat that release statement.
Yeah. The guy had...
And that's the meaning of life.
I think he's taxiing.
Just play that at my funeral. Mark, it was breaking up. They wanted you to sign a release that you'd never seen before.
Correct. And push back, and I asked now, I think it was the agent, I said, is this standard? And he said no. And clearly to me, it started to look like we were getting set up as a preemptive strike because they were afraid we were going to file another collusion lawsuit. So I pushed back. We put some red lines in it. On that, we started working through the other stuff. Then they said that no media was going to be in. I said, well, this is like Friday. I said, well, Wednesday you said you want to know our opinion on media. I said, look, if you guys are claiming you're going to do the tape, then I want media there. I'm not going to have this spun as he didn't look good and have all the BS football arguments that he can't play football anymore. Let people see it and, do it where the media is there so they can be a judge. Because, mind you, in all the depositions last time around, that was always the excuse. We didn't know if he was in football shape, blah, blah, blah. So, finally, Saturday morning, they would not budge on either of those two issues. I said, look, just eliminate employment from the release and allow the media. They wouldn't do either, so we called an audible and did it in high school. So now we have essentially debunked the he's not ready for football because I think Bald would tell you several of those throws are like nothing you've ever seen. And he could. Several of the scouts, there were eight teams that were there. Most of them said he could start on 24 of 32 teams tomorrow.
So you were there in person for the tryout?
No, Ben was there. I was monitoring on the live stream.
Boring cop.
Yeah.
I saw highlights on SportsCenter. It looked good.
Arm strength was good. Well, the reports on Twitter from scouts were like, he has lead arm strength. And I don't think it was ever an issue.
And it didn't look any different than any other quarterback working out who is currently in the league. So
very capable.
In your opinion,
by the way, Tom, no less than Tom Brady commented, this guy should be in the league.
I'm not familiar with that name, but I don't follow the game closely. Did this put to bed a lot of the arguments league was using?
I no longer have to deal with this nonsense about it. Mind you, having done those depositions of the owners, having done the depositions of the head coaches over the last 18 months, I don't have to listen to a single one of these anymore. Done. Now we're no longer there. Get on to the next thing, which is, I'm sure will be he's a distraction or he's a prima donna or this or that, which, fine, if that's what you want to say. All I'll tell you is whoever is the first owner that figures out that the number 7 jersey, you could tell the guy, I don't even want to pay you. I just want to get 100% of the royalties on the number 7 jersey because that's going to sell out, as Nike has proven.
Well, I'll tell you, the guy's the happiest guy is the holder for the kicker who's currently number 7. When you go to that team who's going to sell that jersey.
Well.
The chickens come home to roost.
Mr. Take a knee.
I would take 2 knees and I would take my dick out. And that's where we start.
Oh, that's my opening offer.
That's my opening offer. Mark, thank you for the predictions. Now, anything you can share with us? Any breaking news?
I think you're going to hear something within the next 10 days. That's my feeling. I know I've made that prediction before, but there are a couple of teams, bald, and you could probably guess, no disrespect to Gina.
None taken.
But, there are two teams that I think are in the hunt. One who is legitimately in need of a quarterback, that had a very poor showing on Sunday, and has got an owner that I don't think gives a shit. And the other is an owner that maybe does give a shit, but they still want to win and they're in the hunt. So I'll let you guys speculate. I got to go grab a flight.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye.
Appreciate it.
Off the top of my head, I haven't thought about this, but like the Bears are definitely in need of a quarterback after the Trubisky sort of fiasco, and they're set up for a mobile quarterback, you know, where Trubisky can move. Panthers are kind of, after their last, I think they scored 3 points with their backup quarterback. Like, they could definitely, I don't know. I feel like their owner, though, got in some trouble with he's North Carolina, like the bathroom thing. Was there some controversy?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. There's always, you could tell me there was some controversy with a dead aunt of mine from 14 years ago named Millie, and I'd go, oh, she got me too? Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. You could say there's some controversy with somebody, any human being who made more than $100,000 a year or owned anything or did anything. And I'd go, yeah, that guy.
You know, if it's a description too of owner doesn't give a shit, the Redskins, they're down to their backup quarterback and he did not play well. I think I scored 3 points also.
I had a funny sociological take on the whole thing, which is I watched, I was gone all Saturday and I was sort of watched bits and pieces on SportsCenter, and I watched his press conference after he did the, I don't know, calling it a tryout or workout or whatever it is. And I just told Max Pat, just put together 30 seconds of Colin Kaepernick talking after he got done throwing the ball.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Hey, let me start by saying I appreciate y'all coming out. That means a lot to me. Our biggest thing with everything today was making sure we had transparency in what went on. We weren't getting that elsewhere, so we came out here. It's important that y'all are here. Y'all been attacked for the last 3 years. Y'all continue to be attacked. We appreciate what y'all do. We appreciate you being here today. We appreciate the work you do for the people and telling the truth. That's what we want in everything. And to all the people that came out here today to support, I appreciate y'all. I love y'all.
All right. And I start saying, every time his fro gets bigger, he throws out more y'all.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't remember him being all y'allsy. And so I walked in today and I said to Max Zapata, I don't remember the old Kaepernick with the short cropped hair and not the huge fro, but I don't think he sounded as y'allsy. And
love that singer.
I thought that was a little bit like, I like when the white politician blacks it up when they go to the black church. I think there's something that's going on. I think the hair in the church, he's half black.
Well, he's going by Colin Kaepernick now.
Right. So I just said, Max Pata, find a press conference clip of him from earlier in the league, and let's see if we can A-B it, like when Lissa. You know what? Just play the last. Oh, sorry, Max Pata. Play the last 10 seconds of that one, and then just go right into the next one. I'll shut up.
Y'all been attacked for the last 3 years. Y'all continue to be attacked. We appreciate what y'all do. We appreciate you being here today. We appreciate the work you do for the people and telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. 3 in 2 sentences.
I think we did pretty well. We got a W. Defenses always do different things to our offense, to different formations, things like that. That's just part of playing defense. They're going to scheme us up. Obviously, you don't want to turn the ball over. For me, it's should I have made a different decision on the play? Should I have made that throw? Things like that.
I think I was right.
Is that the same dude?
Same dude. If you close your eyes, I don't know if you'd hear the same dude, but I thought, he's getting blacker by the day. And it's part of the brand. I mean, it's what's happening. It's working. It also makes me a little bit of Ellen dancing. I'm not quite sure what...
What lies beneath.
Yeah. I mean, he was raised... I think he had a black dad and a white mom. He's given up for adoption. He was raised by a white family. That's as black as he is. But he feels. I feel like the hair. Mm. The hair's going that direction, and so is the,
he's keeping
so
up.
Is the y'all. All right. Yes.
So does that solve the question? Because on talk radio today, everyone's talking about, well, he's a big diva, and you know he's big time and everyone by calling this audible and going an hour away to this high school where nobody else had time to get there. So does what Mark said kind of put that to bed?
I don't know that you would ever get a satisfactory answer from either side. It would just be whoever you talk to last.
Right.
It's sort of like everything that's going on politically. It's like, it just depends. You watch Fox, you get one story. You watch CNN, you get another story. And I don't know that either one are wrong or right. It's just whichever one you're watching, that's what's going on. So whatever Mark is saying, we know Mark. Right. So, all right, we'll believe the Mark version.
Sense.
I'm sure if you talk to the commissioner of the NFL, he would tell you what they did wrong. And that's their new world order, but I don't know. In this world where everything is just sort of theater now, maybe this is just more theater. Speaking of football, I got bad news and then good news. You guys, there were two games and two games only, just two football games that I was talking to Mike August about. One was Seattle playing San Francisco, giving away, getting 6.5 points. Right. Seemed like a 3-point game. Felt very strongly about that. Was talked off of that. Then we went to our next football expert, Brad Evans, and I said, the other game I like is anyone who plays the New England Patriots after they lose, they always come back and they make a statement, and he talked me off of that game. So, thankfully, I was with Cousin Sal and Kevin Hench, and we're watching the games, and I said to Cousin Sal, when Philly went up 10-0, I said, what are the odds now? Mm. I said, $100, get you $160. And I said,
do it.
Put it on, because I know how this ends. Yep. This does not end.
We've seen this before.
New England doesn't lose two games in a row. Even now they're down 10, even though they're in Philly, and even though the experts just told me whatever. And we have the audio clip of that just because it drives me nuts. They won 17-10. They would have covered. I think they were giving away four points.
I know, because I bet on Philly.
Something like that. I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Do you have it?
Love the Eagles plus 3.5 as well against the New England Patriots. Look, this Patriots defense, I'm just glad that everybody has moved off the idea that the Patriots are as good as the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens.
Right. Anyway, so I got off both those games, but thank God I got back on.
Thank God.
All right, yes. And it all makes sense, but also nobody knows.
Speaking of, we've seen this movie before, I was thinking Philly plus 4 was a great bet, because the Patriots, they do win after a loss every time, it feels like.
But
it always feels
goal.
Like a field goal the last second. You know, Tom Brady drives 80 yards to give him a field goal range.
True. Do you have the mashup of Asian dwarf baby and puppy monkey baby, Maxipata? Yeah, want to hear that?
Man, I might just chill tonight.
Asian dwarf baby. 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 Asian dwarf baby.
Piss the beat.
Asian dwarf baby.
Mountain Dew Kickstart. Dew, juice, caffeine.
Oh, it's a repugnant commercial, right?
It's so gross.
I hated it so much.
It's like, I tell everyone, forget about whether you can say tits or bazooms or jugs or hooters. If I'm pushing my lasagna away from me, you've lost.
Yep.
If this atheist is going, I'm pushing my lasagna away because I can't see this and eat lasagna, then you've lost.
Yeah, this is a litmus test of how dumb are you. If you're like, oh, I love that puppy monkey baby. Like, why? No, Brian.
All right, let me hit Zorro, and then we'll bring AJ Benza in. Zorro.com. Find everything for your business, any size, almost any industry. Tools and equipment, safety, office and cleaning supplies, and more. Tons of stuff for electrical, plumbing, contracting, manufacturing, and more. Brands you know and trust, Stanley, 3M, Milwaukee, Rubbermaid, just to name a few. I order all my stuff from these guys. Amazing customer service, real people based in the U.S. Fast, free shipping on orders of $50 or more. So $50 or more. free, fast shipping. Visit Zoro.com/Adam. Sign up for their Zmail. Get 15% off your first order. If you got a business or you're just running a household, medium, small, whatever the business, whatever the household, go with Zoro. Zoro.com/Adam. All right. AJ's there. We had another... They got to raise the goalposts again, man. The Jesus Rams Christ. Kick went right over the top.
My Mondays are getting ruined weekly.
I know.
We're going to watch it.
We're going to watch it because it's good pod.
It's a fucking podcast.
Comes in for a chip shot for him.
And right over the top. Got to raise it.
And ladies and gentlemen.
Would have hit. Don't know if we would have went in or out. But they could do it. They could raise it. Got to do it again. It can't happen every single week without somebody.
Yeah.
By the way, do we have to wait like to the end of the season to have a meeting on this?
The competition committee has to meet.
The game's Sunday. You got a whole working week. Just go raise them 6 feet in on a Wednesday. We'll be done. All right. AJ Benza, we love, is out there. There's a lot of crazy stories out there, and we'll talk to him right after this.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for month 7 of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month's shipment includes a recording of Adam breaking down Adam's 12 favorite songs of all time. A jar of coffee booster, perfect for filling you up in the AM so you don't eat the donuts that asshole brought into the office. Heavenly Kettle Corn, the most delicious kettle corn in the known universe. Seriously, we've eaten a concerning amount of it at the studio. Bottle of Mangria or 33 wine, and a custom silver Mangria flask for the aforementioned booze. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam, I don't care about football, but you want to solve the problem? Put a top bar on the goalposts, and that way it's like soccer. If you're too high, you don't score. If you're too low, you don't score. You know what's in, you know what's out. The other thing is, you want to solve this another way to solve this problem? Industry already did this like 50 years ago. Google the phrase light curtain. It's a piece of equipment that has bars of light and photoelectric sensors. It'll tell you if the ball's in or not. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Thank you, caller. I'm starting to sign off on the square it off one. I don't know why.
It's definitive.
AJ Benza is in studio. Good to see you, my friend.
Same here. How about we just get rid of field goals completely? Inside 30 yards, you got to go for it.
Otherwise, right. You got to kick. I'm sick of that shit. Just go score a touchdown.
Well, it's only the close ones or close-ish ones that go over the top.
Oh, yeah. I know.
So maybe you're right. AJ Benza, Fame's a Bitch. It's a podcast. Breaks down all the scandals and tragedies of Hollywood. What's brewing in your world, AJ?
Oh, gosh. Well, I guess I got mostly pissed off a couple days ago when I read about Alicia Keys. You know, she's another one of these woke moms. Her 4-year-old son wanted his nails to be rainbow colored.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, that's great. And then the girl lady did it and he goes, Mommy, I can't do this. They're going to make fun of me in school.
Mm-hmm.
And she went apeshit. And she's mad at America that we do this to young people. And she actually said to him, lots of men color their nails. And it made me think of this gay scare I had as a 10-year-old kid. I'm sure we've all been in that area, but playing ball across the street, like 10 friends. My house was the house everybody came to take a leak, get a sandwich. You know, it was always the door open. My buddy's next, I won't even mention his name, very successful guy. Next door neighbor goes, let's go take a leak. 10-year-old kids pissing in the same bowl. Then he takes the toilet paper tube off the tube and he puts it on his dick and he goes, blow through this. It'll be fun. And I go, you know what? I don't want to do that. No.
Yeah, my old thing is you can make a bong out of anything, but you can't make a blowjob out of anything.
He thought it'd be fun. I said, I don't want to do that. And, you know, if my mom
blow
was in the bathroom.
It, like play it like a jug or how do we do this?
Put holes in it like a
That's
trumpet.
Right.
No, but, you know, if my mother was in the bathroom, she might have said, lots of guys blow through that tube. And I would have had a heart out of my mouth at 10 years old. That's not, you know, why Alicia Keys, your fucking son is right. It was fine to say, no, Mom, this is not a good look for me. You'll get over it.
Look, here's the thing. Kids make fun of other kids. They look for things to make fun of other kids. It's sort of a rite of passage. Now, if you go into the animal,
don't you dare put up my school picture.
If you go into the animal kingdom, you see the young bucks like literally smash. You know, the big horn bucks. You know, mashing each other. Like they compete. They get out there. You see the reindeers and Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. They're out there hustling. The dad's like the coach. That's what they do. And if you talk to guys like Jordan Peterson, a lot of that is really important for like brain development, like what to do, what not
that.
To do,
sure.
what is dangerous, what isn't dangerous, who to be in front of, how to handle, how to roughhouse and apply enough pressure not to hurt or break a bone or choke the person, but to get right up to that edge where you're really simulating a battle. So all of this stuff, and like, there's another argument, which is, well, it didn't used to be okay for little girls to wear pants to school. Aren't we glad they're able to wear pants
and
now?
Yeah.
They had to wear skirts, you know? And you go, yeah, that's progress. And so I think all this stuff is kind of nuanced. Like you'd go, you can't just go, oh, we're just going to keep moving forward and everyone's going to show up wearing a gym sock on their dick like the Red Hot Chili Peppers and everyone's going to have Lee Press on nails. So you have to kind of balance it. But I don't know. You shouldn't get mad at our society.
No, of course not. It's not our fault. And you know what? My son is 11 years old. I came home the other day and he had one nail had black nail polish on it. And I just said, what do you got, buddy? Oh, we did guys in school. We were making fun. It was gone. Like, I didn't make a thing of it. Just, all right, you put nail. I put eye shit on one time to go out just to look like a crazy Johnny Depp night, like when I was getting high shit, just to be crazy. Sometimes it's fun to do that shit, but it doesn't make him gay. But the 4-year-old kid knew this is a problem area for me when I see friends at preschool. And she just should say, yeah, you're right. Let's wait a few years before we start rolling out skirts and shit for you.
What did she do? So she lashed out.
She yelled
against
at America on Instagram and said, we're pieces of shit. Her son can't do anything he wants to do. How dare you, America? You know, listen, it's like everybody wants to see everybody become this new woke person. Harry Styles just did Saturday Night Live. You know, he likes us to think that he's secure in his manhood and he's hetero. He's not.
He's not.
No, of course not. The guy's half gay, whatever. He says he's bi because he wears the blue and pink nail polish as the bisexual flag.
Hey, Brian, you got that intro? You
I do.
Oh, the intro? Sorry.
What? It's this is not a news exclusive.
Allegedly with AJ Benza. Called that so we don't get sued.
You were saying.
And I'm sure Harry Styles would love this report. But they put him, you know, they put him before a commercial in the tutu. But they had him smoking a cigarette because he's such a contradiction. He's such a, you know, how do you figure him out?
I don't.
He's gay.
Let me ask this. When did it become attractive for me to be guessing about your sexuality. I chalk it up there with religion and many other things that I just don't. It's not my business. Yeah. I don't need to guess. It doesn't make you more fascinating to me.
No,
that
they
you
think
can't.
It does. They think it really does. Sells records and all that stuff.
It just it makes you complex, and I'm simple because I'm...
Oh, to put forth the image of some sort of ambiguity or some
yes,
sort of...
Yes, yes. Yeah. I'm not interested.
And George did that 30 years ago. Get over it.
David Bowie did it.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, that worked well. People love that androgyny stuff. But Harry Styles doing it on SNL... Maybe I'm just getting older. I think it's ridiculous now.
You lived in Bob Evans' house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Who just passed?
Yeah.
Didn't he just pass?
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
He was the best.
Ago,
yeah. Yeah. Before I moved here, I would come out to L.A., and I met him, and you got to stay over. He's the best. And I would stay over his house for days, weeks on end, and I...
The big house that he was like got out of and tried to get back
to. Yeah, that whole thing.
Was that in Beverly Hills?
Yeah, Woodland Avenue.
Uh-huh.
Right off Sunset to the right. I forget the first street you go to. Before the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an insane house. It's beautiful. It's not a gigantic house. It's just a small couple of bedrooms, but it's just the grounds. But I was staying there a lot. Not lived there, but I'd stay there anytime I was in town. And you'd see Nicholson and Beatty, and you know the whole crew is there. And the one story I tell that's great that I told in my podcast, that's his book signing with my wife and I. But I was breaking up with an ex-girlfriend in the guest room writing her an email, 97, and he comes to the door and he says, come on, come to the screen. We're going to watch a movie. I'm with Warren and Jack. Let's watch a movie. I go, no, I got to write this email. And he comes to the door with the three of them, and he's holding a bowl of grapes, pajamas with like the front flap open and shit, Coke on the nose, the whole thing. Jack was crazy with the hair out. And he goes, she dumped you, kid. She dumped you. I said, no, we're just taking a break. He said, she dumped you. Lana Turner and Ava Gardner dumped me before I was 25. She's gone. And he goes, what do you think, Warren? And Warren goes, well, you know, it's pussy power. It's the tough power. You know, you can't. Jack, what do you think? Best way to get over a girl is to get under another one. And I just said, you know, let me get the fuck out of this room and hang out with these guys. Like, who knows more than those three wise men?
Yeah.
It was like a Jesus moment.
Yeah.
More like down south, you know what I mean? Yeah. Those three guys.
Yeah. So, God, I mean, in a day of Me Toos and Instagrams and everyone's got a phone with a smart thing on it, what could they do? What would they have done? They literally... would not have led the lives they led.
It's a bygone era. Like, and, that era is gone.
Yeah, and the fact that he let me stay, like, when he brought me to his house, I'm having a little get-together the first time, and every major star was there. And I said, Bob, these guys, they don't want to see me here. I was in the middle of my gossip column days. I don't care. And every one of them was cool, but I never wrote about those parties. I never said what I heard, so I really kept my distance. But I knew and saw everything, but they liked that I wouldn't report it. Now that it's all gone and over, I tell these stories that aren't too incriminating. But there were nights where I'd be in my room and he's up all night. So you get the buzzer, the little intercom. I feel like a black girl. Who should we call?
Wow.
Let me check my phone, kid. I'll see.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like a black broad. That's what he said.
Right.
Times, fool.
Broad.
Cleopatra Jones on the line.
Let me get her over phone here. Out.
Who is the chick in Omega Man who's hooking up with Heston?
Oh,
get her over here.
I'm sure she's still
around. That Pam Grier is still around, isn't
she? Was Kaepernick-esque in her. Yes. She had the same hair Kaepernick has now. Yeah. If you find the chick from... It struck me because Heston... was like so Republican and like so uptight and so whatever. It's weird that he had this black chick, like black dynamite chick, as his love interest in Omega Man. Like,
was very cutting edge back then.
And also, I think he went. We have to figure it out, but he went from Planet of the Apes, where it's like, this chick's perfect. She's all 60'd out. She's got the hair. Yeah. She's got the bosom. And she doesn't talk.
Right.
Like he went
perfect
from her to super mouthy black broad who rode a motorcycle.
The resistance. She was a Black Panther, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was this pre or post Captain Kirk and Uhura?
Oh, you know what? Right at the same time.
No, Omega Man's like 71?
I would say I say that it is... Planet of the Apes, like 69, Mega Man's like 70 or 71, like came after it, I think. And
it's also a weird era in movies where you had to have a love scene no matter how inappropriate. Like, right. Like the black girls, one of them has them with a gunpoint, and he's like, "But first, you're looking pretty good, my lady."
Right.
If memory serves, in that Star Trek episode, the aliens forced them to make out. Yeah. They will come up with a reason.
Rosalind Cash, her name was.
What year was that? What? Oh, well, years now we got to get
only
Star Trek.
2 or 3 years.
Star Trek
was
mid '60s, so I think that was before.
Mega Man, I'm 71.
Who could ever guess that?
Yeah.
So I never heard of her, but I remember her vividly. I don't remember her name, though. But yeah, that was a big thing as a kid seeing that.
Pull up a picture of her and Kaepernick to see his froze bigger.
It's very similar, by the way. There's a black and white here that if she could throw an out pattern, she could put her in the uniform.
She's going to take her out.
I'm telling you.
And this was 68, that episode.
Oh, apparently. So that's same year's Planet of the Apes. Yeah. So it was all in vogue back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, never sure why. But I mean, look, we're talking about it 50 years later, so maybe it's diabolical.
I had a couple of black girlfriends in a row, and I brought them to Evan's house, and he loved both of them. And he took me to his room in this closet area. He's got pictures of his exes up. There she is. Look at that.
Oh, wow.
I don't know that they have that there's any difference in her fro and Kaepernick's fro.
No,
she's throwing the stiff arm.
She's Heisman.
She's
got the
Heisman pose.
This is fantastic. Oh, it's great.
I always had this joke. I didn't have to tell the joke. I said it one time, but I told Lynette. She always made her laugh. I always said, you know, during President Obama, when he first got inaugurated, and he's up there and he's taking the oath and putting his hand in the Bible, he was sort of like, hold on a second. And at some point, he'd like twist his belt buckle and a fro would pop out. Like, just boy, and a shirt would be undone to his navel. A couple of hot blondes would slide into him. I'm like, y'all. You worried for your first black president or your certain black president?
Hey, where are the white women at?
That would have been the greatest moment ever.
President Dolomite. Have you seen that yet?
I heard it was good.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. So Evans took me in this room, and he's got a picture. He used to date Beverly Johnson, the beautiful black model.
Yeah.
But there's three photographs of just her ass, naked ass. It's just, you know, it was a wild house.
Well, look, it was a time, first off, always say, best time ever. Mm. Pre-AIDS, mid-Coke.
Go ahead, you know, go crazy.
AIDS doesn't exist, and Coke's kind of good for you. It's like fashionable. Warren Beatty, want some Coke, bring some
high
Coke.
Society drug.
Everybody had it. No problems.
Yeah, they looked at it like when I was young, the way the Corollas looked at shrimp. Like, hey, good for you if you can afford it. We don't have any. We're not going to have that, but if they put it out, load up. Why would you give it away?
They all went to the doctor in Beverly Hills who would give them – they had liquid cocaine on a Q-tip, so to speak, and it would go right up their nose. Everybody did this.
Like Zycam.
It was like Coke for the week. Like, you never got off your high. It was an amazing high everybody had. Go look at people like Johnny Carson and Merv Griffin. All those, they're all high. They're all having a ball.
Merv Griffin.
No, the talk shows. They were all crazy.
Oh, the people on the talk show.
Yeah, not the hosts. The people on it.
Merv Griffin's out of his mind. Yeah, the people on the show were either beaked up or they had a couple high balls to knock them back down again, smoking.
Sure, it's crazy.
It's good living.
I was amused. I would be amused watching Johnny Carson like back in the day when like there'd be, you know, some big, you know, John Wayne or something. And at some point after a segment, like he'd be smoking and he'd go, all right, John's got to make a flight. He's going to the airport named after him. And he'd just get up and leave. I'm like, he's got to make a flight. Where's he going?
Yeah.
It was a crazy time.
Yeah, and they don't. And Johnny would sneak the cigarette and underneath the desk. You'd catch him on the way up.
Yeah.
It was like so naughty. I saw him smoking. Holy, you know.
So there is no cameras, there's no Ring doorbell, there's no phones, there's no smartphones, there's just Coke and he said, she said. That's all there is.
They had no AIDS.
She rarely said.
No AIDS. No, the worst you get is the clap, I guess they say. Hey, I got a case of the clap. You take a pill for a few days and it's gone. Who cares?
Yeah, I was going to the doctor to get more Coke anyway.
It's on my way.
The doctor.
Hey.
Running low on Coke. He checked my blood. He said the Coke levels are dangerously low.
Listen, two birds, one stone, Coke and some pills for the clap, I'm fine.
They all sound like the doctor, Rob Lowe, playing the doctor in Behind the Candelabra.
Yeah.
With that pulled back face.
And they're insane. They're all smoking, doing coke, and fucking without a condom, and then they die at 89. So who's the joke on kale eaters wearing a condom and jogging?
Gotta go to the gym. No, just do a few lines and smoke a cigarette. You'll be fine.
I want you to speak at my children's school, AJ, coming up. What would that sound like? Let's say.
Oh, listen, I'd say get out of school as soon as you can. Don't listen to any teacher on the left. They're all full of shit.
Smoke a little. Yeah. Do a little coke. Keep the weight down.
Yeah, don't get fat because it looks a fat cokehead looks bad. The good coke will keep you skinned. The bad coke.
Yeah, you start picking at yourself.
That was a bad time when coke was putting weight on you. It was like, what the fuck's going on? I'm doing the right thing. I'm taking the good coke. No, you're not. Change dealers. It's like going on a new diet. Like, you know, the Atkins wasn't working, so I got to try South Beach.
Yeah, that kind of shit. People don't realize, all the young kids. I had a friend who worked for Miami Vice. And one time, this guy came back from Miami, and he said, try this. And I was like, this is good coke. Like, and now I get it. I get why these guys are doing this.
Wow. Yeah, there's good coke, and then there's just whatever. It's just baby laxative and crap that you know the second you touch it.
So what would Bob's schedule be like? Like, what year were you there?
95, 96, 97, up until, recently. But he would get up like 11 or 12. He would stay up late.
That was his resurgence, too, right? He was making, like, movies.
This is before the stroke when he was really...
No, I'm saying he made, like, Sliver. And, like, he made a bunch of big movies.
He made Sliver. He made...
They weren't great movies, but they were big.
The one with Val Kilmer. Saint was not Saint.
Oh, the Saint
didn't do great, but Slay he did a few. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. A couple of them did okay, but he had a long spell where he had nothing but hits. There was a time where when Paramount there was one point where Paramount was only 5% of the wealth of Gulf and Western, which owned Paramount. By the time Evans got done with Cuckoo's Nest and Love Story and Rosemary's Baby, Paramount was 95% of what Gulf and Western's total worth was. So he flipped it like crazy. Movies were phenomenal back then.
Was he set for life?
I don't think so. I think he spent it as well as he made it because there was a problem when he lost the house and then Nicholson had to buy the house back for him. Jack had to go to Switzerland to find this rich guy who just wanted the house. And Jack, put a big pitch out there and he got the guy to fork it back over. He paid extra. But That's the kind of friends those guys were.
It's part of the documentary, which is a great documentary.
That documentary. I saw it at his house. Like, that's when I was really there going all the time, when that was just rolling out. No one had seen it yet. Val Kilmer was staying there. I'm in the guest room. The Brett Morgan, the documentary kid, was always over the house doing stuff. That documentary was so different when it came out. Nothing looked like that.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
Was he happy with it?
Oh God, he loved it. It gave him a second life. He became such a cultural icon. Beyond that, guys like Brett Ratner and all these young guys who probably looked up to him for what he did at Paramount. Then once they go to the house and they see how he entertains, he was like Gatsby. He would have a party. He would do two rounds around his property and then go in his room. He'd disappear. So you're out there for 3 hours talking to the biggest people in the world, and you go back in his room to say goodbye, and you're on the bed, and that's where everything happened. He wrote in his bed. He ate in the bed. His bed was his office. It was California King.
Rich man, poor man, man, working out of that bed.
Right. Sure.
It's not a middle class thing.
Spending working hours in bed.
Sounds good.
Fantastic times. He was the best. He was insane.
It's back. There was something delightful about weird little quaint things, like you're at a restaurant, everyone's drinking highballs and smoking, and at some point someone brings a phone to the table and plugs it in, like, it's a phone call.
Right.
I could remember as a kid just seeing that and go, how important must you be to have a guy bring the phone to your table?
I know. I remember in like 89 or something, I was with a guy, a cop who, you might know Bo Dietl, right? Bo Dietl.
I know, why do I know that? A New York cop?
He was a big cop detective. Then you've seen him on Fox News as a political pundit, always talking. He's got a podcast now, but he was a famous cop in New York. But I was writing a book for him about how to be your own private eye kind of stuff. And we're in his car, and I remember it was like 88 maybe. And he had a phone. He was talking into a speaker above his head. Like, the phone wasn't – and I thought, well, this is the fucking future. Where's the phone? No, it's over here. It's thin, they put it in the car. Mm-hmm. I thought, I got to get that one day. Wow.
That's
not that long ago.
Oh, when I used to watch Vegas, the beginning of Vegas, and Dan Tana had himself his Thunderbird, and he had a phone in the car.
Wow.
Like, he talked to his assistant, Ben, on the phone, and it was like, holy shit. It was kind of an interesting thing because Robert Urich was like, oh, man, it's Dan Tana, like wore suede vest.
Yeah.
Everyone knew. It was so, they were so hot. The chicks were so hot for him. Like, there was one time he was chasing a guy through a neighborhood, jumped over a fence, like residential, lands in a backyard, and there's just a hot chick sunning herself on a lawn. No pool, no nothing, just laying there in a bikini. Yeah, and she's like, oh, my God. Like, he jumps over the fence, and he's like, sorry, I'm chasing someone. And she goes, what's your hurry?
What's your hurry?
Like, can I suck you off, stranger who landed in my yard?
What's
like, imagine how hot you have to be to land.
Oh, yeah. Put a spell on her.
In somebody's, in somebody's yard. But he put this little Patana, it's his license plate.
You know what kind of ball? That guy had a ball, Urich. And when you have that show in that era and look like him, he had a ball.
He had his sidekick was Bart Braverman, who was a spindly-ass Jew.
Yeah.
Well, so what they would do... Now, look, Dan Tana... And Jim Rockford were two chiseled, iron-jawed, beautiful, strapping dudes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you find Max Zapata, you can find Angel, who looked like my dad. He was the guy. He was the guy who says, "Hey Jimmy, can you lend me some money now? I got the loan sharks, man. They're coming after me, man." He was this cowardly, spindly, like guy.
He
looked exact. You find Max Zapata. You find a picture of Angel, and you find a picture of Jim Carolla, and I will show you the same person. Now, the thing that made it tough on me, my best friend Chris. His dad looked like Jim Rockford. He's a big, strong, strapping guy. So his dad was Rockford.
Right,
he had like a sports car, and he got laid, and he had motorcycles and stuff. And my dad was Angel from the Rockford Files. We had to fucking hang out. I'd have to see it played on the small screen. But they would put Bart Braverman next to Dan Tana. So not only do they have a good-looking, big, strapping guy, but... they need a super spindly, cowardly guy to stand next to him to highlight him. Yes, they did the same. They did the same thing. Bins, they would call him Bins. And he was a cowardly little guy. You don't remember Angel?
No, I don't remember Angel.
Oh, Angel!
I remember Huggy Bear and stuff on Starsky. I don't remember Angel.
Angel was always like Jimmy. Yeah, these guys are coming after me. These guys are trouble. They're trouble, Jimmy. I just needed a little advance. He's always. Fucking up with loan sharks and getting into trouble and all the time. He's a pathetic shell of a man.
I remember that.
Rockford was always like, I told you stop gambling. Hey, Jimmy, that was a sure thing.
Yeah, sure thing. I love that.
All right, find Angel groveling.
By the way, I was screaming in my kitchen the other day listening. Well, I heard it today. Brad Williams doing your porn show. I'm screaming. Gillis, Brad.
Jamie Gillis.
I knew who it was.
Instantly. I know.
Sad. Never thought of it till just now.
Yeah.
Somebody else told me, I forget who told me, said, listen, if they do a movie on Vinny the Chin Gigante, Carolla's got to play Vinny the Chin Gigante.
There's a Vinny the Chin?
Oh, the Chin in New York City.
The Chin.
The guy who played like a nut. He wore a bathrobe and walked the city like he was crazy. No one bothered him, but he was running the whole Genovese Empire.
Oh, that guy. Vinny
the Chin. Late?
He looks a little like a young Vinny the Chin. Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's play AJ's outro, and I'll do it. Well, I'll let Chris find those pictures.
That was Allegedly with AJ Benza. Called that so we don't get sued. All views and opinions expressed in this segment are lightly researched and or complete conjecture based on hearsay and rumor from loose connections within the entertainment industry. There is no concrete way to prove that any of the claims made by AJ are in fact accurate and not libelous or defamatory. But again, we remind any legal representation who may be listening that the view and opinions expressed belong to AJ and only AJ, host of Fame as a Bitch, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Podcast One.
That's right.
We're looking at my dad as Angel, circa 1974, Kaepernick's fro on his head, an angel. Hey, gotta help me, Jimmy.
Yeah. I know the actor.
My dad's name is Jim, which made it even worse. Like Jimmy.
I know the actor. I know the. Yeah, I remember that guy.
Is this a coincidence or is it intentional that the character is named after an iconic LA restaurant? Is that just
which came first?
Well, this is Dan. This is Rockford Files,
right, there's
and
Dan
then there's
Tana.
Dan Tana's, and I've always asked that. About that.
Dan Tana's. I was just looking up. Dan Tana's. The restaurant came around in '64.
I think they made it after the restaurant.
After the
guy's probably sitting in Dan Tana's.
Yeah, it came first. The restaurant.
There's a great. I don't know. I don't know what the internet is capable of.
They spelled it different. They spelled it with two N's.
The greatest thing. So he lived in one of the behind a casino, and he'd pull his car up into his house, his condo, and everything. And he had a hot secretary named B, who was always attracted to him, of course. And then the spindly Bart Braverman guy. And then there was there's a great scene. My favorite Dan Tana scene is they always have hot chicks being attracted to him. So he's strutting through the casinos, you know. And he's walking through, and at some point, they page Dan Tana. And I remember thinking about this stuff when I was 11 or 12. Oh, by the way, his boss at the hotel was Tony
Curtis.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The two hot chicks, like, sitting at the bar, and they go, paging Dan Tana, paging Dan Tana. So cool. And the one hot chick says to the other hot chick, who's Dan Tana? And the hot chick says, you don't know Dan. And that was to let us know how hot he was.
Wow.
But
shut your mouth.
Have you ever been in an airport and heard someone page and turned to someone and went, who is that? Because the answer is, how the fuck do I know? It's a fucking airport. Who would know?
There's a thousand people in this casino.
You think I have a personal relationship? Nobody would ever ask who that was.
Who is he?
This is why I could never be in a writer's room.
I know. No.
Because I just go, what would motivate her? And they go, hey, Mr. Groundlings, pack your shit up and hit the fucking skids.
Like, it must have been this contract. They must have been like, we have to have a couple of hot chicks every show come up on me. And you know, it has to be, they have to keep him placated.
Oh, man. And then you'd hear Ernie Anderson's voice, Paul Anderson's dad, coming up next. He'd be watching a Love Boat or whatever. And they'd go, coming up next, someone's killing showgirls, and Dan wants to know why. There's a hot showgirl chick standing next to Dan. Sliding grid falls, you know, sandbag falls. A lot of stuff not being rigged.
Yeah. Phantom of the Opera style.
Loosely, most of the 70s deaths took place because rigging was bad.
Everything was jury rigged. Spit and glue,
To just show the hands with the gloves, like cutting a rope, but you wouldn't know who it was.
You know who does the best Ernie Anderson with that stuff?
Oh, who?
Brian Whitman.
Oh, it's
always Starsky and Hutch, but I'm sure he changed it up for you.
You got to find out about someone's killing showgirls and Dan. And the next little bit. And that was coming up. Then they'd have, like, Adrienne Barbeau's a guest host. She's nude sunbathing on the Lido deck. And I was like 11 going, oh, shit.
Barbeau was everything, man. Yeah.
All right. Absolutely. Well, let me hit the... All right, so Max Pata, see if you can find Dan Tana being paged.
Okay. I'll speak. Well, before I get to that, I want to let you know. So Dan Tana was a former professional footballer from Yugoslavia and also starred at the restaurant Dan Tana's in L.A. And the guy from Vegas is named after Dan Tana, the guy.
Bang.
Dan Tana, the guy.
You know who was a career bartender Craig. At Dan Tana's?
Craig.
You know who else? Mm-hmm. This is very inside baseball.
The old guy?
Domagoj from the 97.1, his father.
The guy showed up with a crock pot
every
day.
His father was a career bartender over at Dan Tana's.
Jesus Christ.
Is that the guy that's still there, kind of? The old guy?
I don't think he's there anymore.
I fucking still have the smell of lentil in my hair from fucking Domagoj. Like, I need a drink because I'm so emotionally scarred from him cooking his dinner at the the 10 in the morning, be bringing a crock pot in from the people that cook their dinner. Like, literally just... I don't know. They went to use a company of electricity or something.
Is that right? I never really.
It smelled of lentil and beef. Like it was weird. It's unsettling.
Yeah.
All right. We'll find that stuff up. And Angel from the Rockford Files, who was, I think he won some Grammys and I mean not Grammys, sorry, Tonys or
won some something like
Emmys.
This.
Yeah, he won. He was a pretty celebrated actor. Who'd show up as a journeyman actor.
Stuart Margolin.
Right. Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction, everyone. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal parts from rubbing and robbing and friction it three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It's the edge. It's formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. It is Castrol Edge. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back and do the news right after this.